Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live. You're listening to the Rose Colombo, right here for you every Wednesday, live. Are we all alive? Thank God, huh? Being 6 feet above the ground is a miracle and a blessing. So we should be grateful, and I hope you're having the best weather ever as we are on the West Coast. It's just a beautiful spring day. And today we have a dynamic guest, and she is a best-selling author. Her name is Nancy J. Height, H-I-T-E. And Nancy Height is a certified financial planner, fiduciary, and author. She's also the founder of the Strategic Wealth Advisor, LLC, and that's located in beautiful Boca Raton, Florida, where they are all free. She offers forthright advice and has a fiduciary duty to provide meaningful and workable options to help her clients prepare for and enjoy the current and future chapters of their lives by focusing on their personal goals. You can find out more about Nancy Height on her website, and she will give you that website in just a few minutes. I also wanted to tell you a little bit about Nancy Height's book, The Retirement Mirage. Don't be fooled by the retirement mirage, she says. Your ideas about retirement are dissipating before your eyes. People are living longer, and the world is changing faster because of advancing technology, 21st century notions about retirement, and how they are antiquated. It's time to think differently. And if you're a middle-aged or senior or elderly person, you will definitely need this information. So stay with us, and we will welcome our guest in just a moment. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up to Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday because we have dynamic guests every Wednesday with God willing, and they have a myriad of expertise, or they've written expertise on topics in their books. And they're willing to share that information with you, which is invaluable, and you can't get from anywhere else. So right now we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts, and we're going to welcome our very, very special guest, Nancy J. Hite, that's H-I-T-E, and she is the author of a best-selling book, The Retirement Mirage. You will not want to miss this information because we all need it. Hi there, Nancy. How are you doing today?
We're doing great down here in South Florida. The weather is beautiful. And let me say we're in the 21st century, and really life is beautiful. As you had mentioned, we're all 6 feet above ground, and that's really an important place to be. So we are living longer, and hopefully all our listeners have reasonably good health, and that's really important going forward.
Boy, that's so true, because people are living longer and longer, so health is one of the important issues. And I'm so glad you wrote this book, The Retirement Mirage, because I don't believe most people are prepared today for this longevity of life and also the increased costs for health care and the living expenses that are happening today. And, of course, our population is older as well. So I'm going to ask you, Nancy, what was your reason for providing this important information to fellow Americans and perhaps people around the world who are interested in their retirement as well?
Well, I have been in the financial area for over 20 years. I'm a certified financial planner, and I just got to a point where I could not take the false information that was being sent out to Americans, no matter which television show you watched. If it had a financial company on it, they're all talking about how they had a better product to make sure you could retire. And I realized after working with real Americans for years, retirement is really not a 21st century concept. If we think back to the time when 401ks and Social Security started, and we can talk about that in a minute, Rose, we're living longer, we're having much longer lives, and with good health, it is not reasonable to expect that we could retire at 60, 62, 63 and live another 35 years on what we had saved. It's just not realistic. So we have ways in the book to talk about what we could do to make our lives financially secure. And that was why I wrote the book, to tell the truth. And that's what the book does.
Yes, and I mean, I recall all of the many, many retirement advertisements on television that make it look as if everybody's going to be on an island and enjoying a fruity drink and relaxing in the sun with no worries. But that really isn't reality today. It may have been in the past, but not so much today because times are changed. So would you say that this retirement planning isn't going to be working for many millions of Americans because the population is older? And depending on their financial condition, and as we know, with the pandemic, many businesses are shut down, and retirement plans seem to be diminishing or put on the back burner. So what do you say to these Americans?
Well, I think one of the things that I want to stress to our listeners today is that my book is not about which product you should buy. No matter who you listen to, they have the better product. This book is, as I like to say, KISS, keep it simple, sweetie. And there are only three things you can do with money. Spend it now, spend it later. That doesn't mean 30 years, could be 4 or 5 years, or spend it never. You're going to leave it to your children, your grandchildren, or charity. We do not do brain surgery in the book. We talk about real stories of real clients that I've had through the years with the different financial issues they have had and how together we have solved the problem. And so I think this is where we need to focus in the 21st century. I wrote the book because I have found most of us have a risk tolerance, how much we're willing to risk, whether it's financially or whether it's in other areas. Are we going to go up in a glider? And some of us say, no way, Jose, I'm not going up there and have to worry about how I'm going to come down. I live in South Florida. People who come down to visit me, the only thing they bring down is bathing suit, bikinis, and suntan lotion. Now, because I live down here, I know that it could rain on one side of the street and not the other. So I have an umbrella in the back seat. And what I'm suggesting in the book that I wrote, Retirement Mirage, is that we have some financial umbrellas in the back seat of our financial life. Not that it controls us, but that we control it. And that is where I think people have a tendency to lose direction, where they don't feel they're in control of their financial life. So one of the things I suggest, Rose, is when you go to buy an item, take 20 seconds and ask yourself, do I need this or do I want this? If you absolutely have to have it, then buy it. But if you ask yourself that question for the next couple of weeks, you will find you're going to put the item back on the shelf and say, you know, I really don't need this. It would be nice to have, but you know what? If I don't buy this, I'm going to have extra money for something else that I really do need. And that will help you get to the place that you need to be with money. Just remember, it's not brain surgery. You make the choices, and we make these choices, Rose, really based not on a spreadsheet. I don't care if you went to Harvard or MIT or took all kinds of business courses. Most of us thought about spending money around the kitchen table when we were children. Now, if you have time, I'd like to just tell you a short story to bring this into the reality. Do you have time for that?
I absolutely have time for it, and I also wanted to mention that I have known young people who have made a lot of money and very smart, but then they blew it all and had to start again, but they were young enough to start again, but that was a tough lesson for them to learn. And so at any age, you can blow your retirement money. So please tell us that story, because we want to hear it. So go ahead.
Well, this is a story that talks about and relates back to what I just mentioned, that we learn our ideas about money and so forth around the kitchen table. Now, I originally came from Massachusetts. Maybe you could tell from my accent. And John Kennedy, after he was elected president, a reporter went up to him and said, Mr. President, you grew up during the Depression. It must have been a very difficult time. This was in the late 30s and 40s when he was growing up. And he said, could you share with us what it was like to grow up during the Depression? And this was in the 60s when there wasn't a depression. And the president turned around and looked at him and said, depression? He said, I never grew up during a depression. My father was a bootlegger. We had a lot of money. We went to Europe in the summer. We had live-in help. I had a personal valet to take care of all my things. I went to a private school. He said, I have no idea what it's like to grow up in a depression. All his financial thinking revolved around his family table. The person who lived 2 miles away, and I grew up in the same town where President Kennedy grew up, he didn't have enough money for food on the table. And if he needed a new pair of sneakers, and he said to his dad, Dad, I want a new pair of sneakers. And the dad said, let me look at the bottom of your shoes. And the child would pick up his shoes. There's nothing wrong with your sneakers. He said, but all my friends have a red color now. He said, that's beside the point. We need the money for food on the table. That child has a much different idea about money than President Kennedy had. And this is
absolutely
where your idea.
And a lot of politicians are out of touch with reality and how the people are suffering even today under this pandemic, who have lost their jobs and their businesses. They have no clue because they're comfortable. They don't have to worry about money. They don't have to worry about where they're going to live or what they're going to do because their families are financially secure. But we, the real people, are the majority who have to worry about these issues. So how can people be prepared so they don't run out of money before they run out of time?
Well, I think the pandemic has really created some awareness in everybody's mind, whether you had what I call an emergency fund or not. Most people have gone through their savings if they had any. My clients that are very wealthy, if I ask them if they have an emergency fund, if something goes wrong, they say, well, I've got, maybe $1,000, but otherwise everything else is, I couldn't put my hands on it right away. So that's wealthy people. People that aren't wealthy, that are living from paycheck to paycheck, the first thing they need to do is think about what I said when you go to buy something, because many of us are living paycheck to paycheck at this point. Do I need it or do I want it? And start to put aside minimum of 6 months of living expenses. That is a minimum. And what that will do will give you the security that should you get an offer for a better job, but not necessarily better pay, but you'd love to take the job, but you can't afford to take it because you're living from paycheck to paycheck and you don't have any extra savings, you're going to be allowed to take it financially because you'll have the emergency fund to draw the extra money. So it gives you a real sense of being in control of your financial life. And the fact that you're not getting any interest in the bank is irrelevant. It's not there for that reason. It's there to give you control of your financial life. So the base point, if you have an IRA, a 401k, take a breather from putting money in it for the time being and take that money and put it into an emergency fund, which will give you the mental stability and financial stability to have freedom in your financial life.
Well, that's a very good point. And but what about, all these people pushing investing in gold and silver and commodities, et cetera? Should people take that risk in these troublesome times, economically troublesome times?
Again, we go back to the basics. We need to have a foundation in our financial life. You cannot take more risks than you can be comfortable with. Again, the risk comes from what you learned around your own kitchen table. Having a diversified portfolio is certainly a help, whether it be gold or whether it be real estate or whether it be technology or whether it be utilities, whatever you feel comfortable investing in. But let's make sure that they're companies that have some financial stability. We need to be careful. Go ahead.
Exactly.
What were you going to say, Rose?
Oh, I agree with that.
Yes.
So with more people living longer, is it beneficial now to teach and educate children today about long-term financial stability, because it's a process that establishes a strong financial foundation for financial stability to teach these kids this agenda. But on the same token, they're watching many, many people becoming homeless and they're out of school. So how can they learn how to survive tough times as we're doing now, and how to save for retirement at an early age, because young people don't really think about that. To them,
well,
they're going to live forever.
I recall when I went to grammar school, the boys had shop and the girls had cooking. And girls were usually not allowed in the shop where the guys were making things with hammers and nails and building different things. In those days, the two sexes were separated. Today, it would not be unusual to have a woman or a young girl in the shop department building something, and many of the chefs that I know are men. So the men were terrific in the kitchen. If you have a hobby, I strongly suggest that you cultivate it. If you're a golfer, let's just say down here in Florida, we have a lot of golfers and a lot of retirees, but the golf courses to belong to a private course are very costly. And when you stop working or only working part-time, you may not be able to afford to belong to the golf course as a private citizen, but you could get a job at the golf course as a ranger and get free golf. If you like to cook, maybe you could, or bake, you could become the cookie lady with the kids coming home from school, and you could give cookies and then sell cookies. Develop your hobbies. Don't let anyone take you out of the area where you're the happiest. Most of us look forward, whether it's on the weekend or in the evening, to our hobbies. But very few of us have jobs that we go to Monday to Friday that we look forward to. It's great if you can find a job that you love. You don't think of Monday as being a work day. You think of Monday as being a day where you're going to have some fun. That is the ultimate as far as being able to be financially stable. Having the ability to always make a couple of $100 extra doing something you love. You might not be making money doing that hobby now, but if you develop it a bit, you will. And don't let anyone keep you from your dreams. Your dreams are important, and this is where it's very valuable to stay your course. Don't give up those dreams. You will get there. Just take the time to develop them.
Well, you know, there's a lot of young people today. It's changed, you know, where I grew up, you know, and you were supposed to get married first and then have children, that, you know. And then more women began to go to college and eventually getting divorced,
yeah,
et cetera. And so what about all these young women today who are living with someone, but they are not married to someone, and then they end up having joint bank accounts and so forth? Because I noticed in your book, you write about living together.
Yes, living together creates some very interesting and unique financial situations. I think whether you're a male or a female, if you're living together with somebody, you need to have your own separate bank account. The two of you can get together and say, we're going to share the rent. We're going to share the food. I will put $100 into the pile. You put in $100. When we spend that, we can put more in, as opposed to having a joint account. Because if somebody should be sued, one of you, for being, let's say, in an automobile accident, and the person comes after you and attaches the bank account, even though you're not the one that was in the accident, your money is also attached. So it's very important to keep those things separate and to have your own integrity. We won't even talk about the credit issues that will come of that. Yes, there are many young people as well as older people who have been married, and let's say they're a widow or a widower. They also move in together, and they have the same kinds of questions. How should we handle the money? Handle it as each one of you are an adult and independent. You're living together, but your money should be separate to make sure that you don't lose control of it.
And so what about health care? What are your thoughts on health care? Because health care has changed a lot just in the past 10 years.
Well, health costs are out of sight. What can I say about that? And part of that has to do with the fact that we personally do not pay for our own health care costs. If we are an employee, it is run by the company. You sign up for certain plans. If you're on Medicare, the government is getting involved. So the medical group as a whole, the prices that they charge for things are outrageous, whether it be for medications or anything else. I don't know if we want to get into the political aspects of that today, but for health care, The most important thing you can do on an individual basis is to try to live a healthful life. If you don't belong to a gym, you must do some cardio exercise. You have to try to keep your weight in check. We all, look, I love to cook. That's a hobby of mine. And I want to know, but I know, I've learned that I cannot eat as much as I want. I can eat anything I want, but I can't finish the pint of ice cream. And I want to know, I love ice cream, and I'm afraid to bring it in to the apartment because I can go through a pint in one night. So I know exactly how this works. I have to be very careful. And just going an extra hour on a treadmill is not going to make the difference to my heart or the cholesterol or everything else. So you have to, it's difficult. Believe me, I appreciate all these issues, whether it's pasta or pizza or no matter what you, and I love all that stuff. But I've learned that if I'm going to be healthful, I cannot allow my weight to get out of sight. My waistline, I cannot, and as women, this is a big problem, even sometimes more than for men. So, yes, health is very important. Do the best you can. If you have some genetic issues, make sure you mention them to your internist or your primary care doctor and say, look, my mother had these issues. My dad had other issues. I need you to keep me in control and help me. Many times the people who got COVID were basically ill to start with, besides they were older, and they were also very heavy. The recent research that has come out has said that they were very overweight, many of the people. So they had other medical issues, and this just added to the problems they were having. So as far as health goes, look, the older you get, the more you realize how important it is to be healthful. When you're young, everything is terrific. Okay?
Exactly.
So we've been there and done that, and we need to kind of focus on that. It'll help you financially also.
So many people end up in credit card debt, and I think that's a huge problem. Many Americans live off their credit cards as well, especially if they lose their jobs. And so, through no fault of their own today. And so, how do they get out of credit card debt so that they can invest in more profitable areas in their life, whether it's real estate, like you said, or stocks or bonds or whatever they decide to do with their money, but they're strapped because they're held, you know, to this credit card debt, and they don't know how to get out of it.
Well, if you have credit card debt, which many people do, and it's understandable because they're enticing you, take the debt you have on one card, bring it to another, we'll charge you less interest, and so forth and so on. Rose, to be honest with you, we go back to the simple concept that I started with. Do we need it or do we want it when you go to buy something? Many of the things that are on our credit card are things that we wanted but we didn't necessarily need. There's a difference when you charge something that you absolutely have to have. If you have, many of us have several credit cards and debt on both of them. Go after the one that has the highest interest rate first, because you have no idea how much extra you're paying for that item because of the interest that you're paying. So try to whittle down the one with the highest interest first. It may not be the largest one with the most money on it, but at least it will reduce the debt. And again, we want to go back to spend it now, spend it later, or spend it never. This is money that we have to put into the credit card to get it off our back. And with credit cards, please, listeners, do not cancel the card because it goes against your credit rating. Why that should be, I don't know. But that's the way the system works. So we have to work within the system. Put the card in the back of the drawer once you've paid it off, and just use one or two if you have to. There's nothing wrong with charging on the credit card. You want to get to the point where at the end of the month you can pay it off, and many of us are not at that point. So that's certainly, that's another reason why, forget about putting money in the 401k and the IRA. Your company is giving you extra money to put it in, fine. Don't worry about that. Take the money that you would put in, the 1, 2, 3%, and start paying down the credit card. So you need
you made
to make
a really
choice.
Good point. You made a really good point. You're buying items, and you're actually paying a lot more for it when you put it on the credit card, and you end up with these high interest rates being charged to your card. And so actually you're paying a lot more for whatever you chose to buy, which I never really thought about that myself. Pardon?
Yeah, yes, we've all had the lesson. So the book, that's why I'm saying, the book, The Retirement Mirage, is not about what product to buy. It doesn't even mention products. What it talks about is these kinds of issues. How do I get out of debt? How do I pay down the credit card? I have stories of different clients and what they did. It took time. That's okay. We have time. What we don't have time to do is to keep going into debt and not sleeping at night because we don't have money to do the things that we make our dreams come true. This is what we want to do. And you talked about parents earlier. I have a whole chapter in the book of how a parent can take a four-year-old and teach him or her the financial issues that they're going to face as time goes on. If you remember that chapter in the book, Rose.
Yes, yes, education and our children. Let's give them a process that establishes a strong financial foundation for financial stability, which most of us never, ever got when we were in school in the past, and I'm not sure they're getting it today. And so as they're changing the curriculum, so I think that is such an important point for you to stress in the book, and I'm glad you did because I wish we would have been trained more into that area on how to survive, basically, and how to continue on living comfortable after we retire. And more people are having to work longer, standing on their feet all day, because I'm seeing older people like at Walmart and other stores, Target, you know, those types of stores, the discount stores, where they hire older people. And you know, you just know that they're subsidizing their income because they did
yes.
live longer and they didn't prepare. That's what I believe
now,
is happening.
Well, let's forget that when the entire concept of retirement started back in the 40s when Roosevelt introduced Social Security. That's 1940s. Okay, at that time, life expectancy was like 70, 71. And people all had pensions, and that's one of the reasons our politicians are out of touch, because they all have pensions. We don't
right.
have pensions. All right? So,
no.
I mean, we have a two-class system when it comes to that. So that's why they're interested in getting reelected. But we won't go down that road. But just to give people a concept, yeah, when Roosevelt brought Social Security in, everybody had savings. This was in the 1940s. Everybody who worked had a pension, and it was the standard at that time was everybody worked until they died. They didn't think it was a bad thing to do. And so Social Security was actually supposed to be the frosting on the cake. People lived, if they lived to 70, they lived to be old. So the government felt, well, if we have to pay people from 65 to 70, we'll give them a stipend. And what's a big deal? We can handle it. All right, now people, it's not unusual. We have people living to 100, but let's say the average, it's not unusual to live until your mid-90s. Okay, now the only thing left now, since we don't have pensions and many people don't have savings, is the frosting on the cake. And so we have to realize, we cannot live on the frosting. So 401ks didn't even come in until 1978. And a Roth IRA was born in 1998. Many places don't even offer a Roth, but if you have a financial advisor, you certainly should check the value of having a Roth IRA or Roth 401k rather than just the regular one. But again, the book doesn't necessarily talk about that. We do spend a little bit more time talking about what parents need to do to help children as young as 4 years old. And as you learned from the book, it's really an opportunity where the parents have to be taught, because it sometimes becomes a little difficult for them to set the rules, so to speak. So I always like that chapter.
I believe, you know, in exactly what you're saying, in your book, The Retirement Mirage, because young people end up dependent on their children to help them out when they get older if they don't prepare, and they don't prepare their children of what is actually happening today, because it's happening all over the country where seniors are taking care of their elderly parents, and people aren't talking about that. And that's why I'm so happy that you are bringing this to their attention. And the book, again, is The Retirement Mirage by Nancy J. Hite. That's H-I-T-E. And now that we're coming to the end, Nancy J. Hite, I just want to thank you so much. And it is your time to shine. You can give any message you like. You can tell us where to purchase your book. Or if you have any websites, let us know.
My website is The Strategic Wealth Advisor. You can buy the book from the website itself, right on the front page, or you can go to Amazon. If you're a Kindle person or an ebook, that is on special this month, 99 cents. And the book is a paperback, and it's under $20, and the book itself is under 300 pages. So it is not a difficult book as far as it's not technical at all. I've given it to a lot of friends. They said, we can't read financial books. We don't have any knowledge. I said, this is different. I said, I'm not trying to tell you how to read a financial statement. I said, this is about how money really works and what you can do to help yourself. So I think you'll find the book very enjoyable, easy to read. You can read one chapter at a time, put it down, and pick it up someplace in the middle. And each chapter is a different financial problem that most of us have come across or will come across, whether it's buying a house, bringing up children, credit card debt, all kinds of different ways to make your life less stressful when it comes to money. And I know that's really a problem for most of us. As I said at the beginning, Rose, I wanted to make sure that I told people the truth, that what they were hearing is not reality in the 21st century. And life is great, and you're going to live longer and enjoy it more and have enough money. You are going to. Just stay with your dreams, and you will reach them.
That's a beautiful message, and I totally agree with your message. And it's so funny that you mentioned the simple part, because that's what the advice I give to my daughters is, keep it simple. Keep life simple. And because I found that the more debt you acquire, or the more things that you do without thinking about the consequences, it creates more stress in your life. So as you stated, I believe in keep it simple.
Keep it simple, sweetie. Now,
sweetie.
One last point. There is a difference between being rich and being wealthy. The people who are rich are driving the car that's $760 a month because they've got to impress their person, their friends, that say they can afford to drive that car even though they really can't. The wealthy person doesn't give a damn about what the next-door neighbor thinks or what their friends think. They drive the less expensive car. They pay cash for it. They don't necessarily eat in the most expensive restaurants, but they're very happy, and they have money to do anything they want. And we all know rich people, and we all know wealthy people. And we have a choice by asking yourself, do I need it or do I want it? If you want it and you buy it, you might end up being rich, but you'll never have any money to do the things you want. You'll have all the accoutrements. If you say, no, I really don't need it, or I need it but I don't want it, you'll end up being the wealthy person. And that's
beautiful.
What you need to think about. The choice.
Yes, and choices have consequences. And so, Nancy J. Hite, it has been a pleasure listening to all of your invaluable information, sharing it with our audience and with me as well. And I truly would recommend your book, The Retirement Mirage, to everyone, because everyone is going to have to face retirement, and you want to live comfortably, and you don't want to have stress and worries in your life or be a burden to your children. So I totally thank you for writing The Retirement Mirage, and I hope everyone goes out and gets a copy. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time. Thank you to your listeners. I really appreciate spending the time with you this afternoon.
Thank you. You have a good day in that beautiful weather in Boca Raton.
And
with a great governor,
you.
Too.
And everyone stay financially healthful and physically healthful.
Beautiful. Bye-bye, Nancy.
Bye-bye.
And Nancy J. Height has left the building, and I have to leave the building as well, so I will be back in just a moment. So don't touch that dial, because we will enter into the world of politics.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. Listen up, because we are entering into the world of politics. One of my favorite topics. We just left the world of authors and experts. And I want to talk about what Dr. Mercola has to say. He's an excellent source for finding out what's happening with the plandemic. So here are a few of his points. Some of the same drug companies now responsible for developing and manufacturing fast-track COVID-19 vaccines were also responsible for creating the opioid crisis in the USA, which has killed as many Americans as have died from COVID-19. Did you understand that one? Because that's a real shocker. Most have also been convicted of other unethical and criminal activities over the years, any of which puts their ethical fitness into question. Dr. McCullough says, in 2019, an Oklahoma court found Johnson & Johnson partially liable for the human and financial costs of the opioid epidemic in the United States, and ordered the company to pay $572 million. And that's interesting, because Walmart was just fined for being involved in the sale of illicit opioids. Number three, Dr. McCullough says, two other COVID-19 vaccine makers, Pfizer and AstraZeneca, are habitual offenders, having repeatedly engaged in illegal and corrupt marketing practices, bribery, and science suppression. Pfizer's vaccine plant, where COVID-19 vaccine vials are to be filled, also has a long history of quality control problems. Now, this is information you're not going to read on Facebook or Twitter, because they do not want you posting anything negative or sharing any type of information that they believe is negative towards Big Pharma, Bill Gates, Dr. Fauci, or the manufacturers of the COVID-19 fast tracks warp speed vaccinations. Research confirms the suspicion that the lipid nanoparticles used in Pfizer's and Moderna's vaccines are highly inflammatory and may be responsible for many of the adverse effects reported. CDC reported that over 1,200 people have died after they were vaccinated, and other doctors say there are thousands more because they are not being reported, and that there are thousands of serious injuries. But social media doesn't allow Dr. McCullough and other doctors internationally who do not believe in warp speed or fast-track vaccinations with no long-term case studies on the adverse health effects of individuals based on race, age, pre-existing conditions, health, gender, sexual preferences, and so forth. And they did no studies on mice, only on humans, which is unprecedented in the United States of America. It was an FDA emergency trial and experimental vax that was approved. Most have also been convicted of other unethical and criminal activities over the years, any of which puts their ethical fitness into question, says Dr. McCullough. Not surprisingly, opioid addiction and overdose deaths skyrocketed during 2020 lockdowns, and now COVID-19 vaccines are taking their toll as well. It's like being used as a guinea pig, a human commodity for human capital, for the profitability that generates billions and billions of dollars for Bill Gates, who stated stated from his own lips that he invested $10 billion in several big pharma companies to manufacture these vaccines. And he also did public speeches that said they could, back in, I think it was 2014, and it's on video, where he stated that the whole world needs to be vaccinated, and 10 to 15% of the population could end up dead. But that is, according to him, saving lives. So as noted by Russell Brand in a recent video commentary, some of the same drug companies now responsible for developing and manufacturing fast-track COVID-19 vaccines were also responsible for creating the opioid crisis in the United States, which has killed many Americans as have died from COVID-19. So again, this is, could be a very serious problem in the future, where there will be more serious direct adverse health effects to individuals, hopefully reported, and also deaths. But without the long-term case studies on the direct adverse health effects to individuals, it appears that it would be very difficult to prove for the families of those who died, from the members of the families who died of a vaccination, to prove that it was actually linked to the vaccination without those published long-term case studies and without those short-term case studies on mice. And also, Congress granted Big Pharma immunity from lawsuits that claim injury or death. Why did they do that? Most have also been convicted of other unethical and criminal activities over the years, he says, any of which puts their ethical fitness into question. Not surprisingly, opioid addiction and overdose deaths skyrocketed during 2020 lockdowns, and now COVID-19 vaccines are taking their toll as well. And we know during the lockdowns that statistics have proven that there is a huge surge in depression, homelessness, financial distress, domestic violence, abuses, and alcoholism and drug use and suicides. So not only are some people dying from due to vaccination, but people are also dying from being locked down and isolated into depression, which isn't healthy. Lockdowns are not healthy. They're unprecedented in the USA. It's like being imprisoned in your own home by Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci and Big Pharma and CDC and WHO and our own government. But is anyone asking which constitutional authority that President Biden and Congress and the CDC and Big Pharma and Bill Gates, who says you have no choice, and who's invested heavily in many of the Big Pharma companies with a goal, he said, of making $200 billion in profits from the vaccinations. And Dr. Fauci is alleged to own many of the patents on coronavirus, which is also a huge conflict of interest. And he also is alleged to sit on the board of the Gates Foundation. And Dr. Birds works and was funded by Bill Gates Foundation. And Dr. Fauci and her daughter works for the Gates Foundation, according to the news articles. And Dr. Fauci's wife allegedly works for one of the big pharma corporations. So it's all very interesting because they're also linked to Jeffrey Epstein and to Moderna going many years back, and Bill Gates and his family and many of those who are his colleagues also believe in eugenics. And they're linked to the Clintons and the Obamas and the Bushes and the New World Order members. So this is all very interesting because everyone's life is being affected physically, emotionally, and financially. And we are losing our freedom, liberty, rights, freedom of speech, controlled by social media now. Not by the Constitution, not by the government, we the people, but by social media, who determines what we can and cannot say online. Who gave them the power to become the fact checkers of free Americans and deny freedom of speech? Johnson & Johnson found partly liable for opioid crisis. In 2019, Dr. McCullough writes, Johnson & Johnson was found partially liable for the human and financial costs of the opioid epidemic in the United States, and they were ordered to pay $572 million to the state of Oklahoma. While the company denied any wrongdoing, data revealed during the trial that proved a culture of downplaying the risk of opioids to customers and physicians. Cassaberry Court reported, adding, quote, sales representatives were trained to tell doctors that the risk of addiction was 2.6% or less if the drugs were prescribed by a doctor, and most shockingly, doctors were specifically targeted as key customers if they had a history of prescribing a high amount of opioids. Well, I have a story that happened in my family where the doctor was prescribing excessive numbers of opioids to an elderly couple, and in their 80s and 90s. And fortunately for them, they weren't taking them because they appeared to have been missed with people coming in and out, caregivers and specific relatives, et cetera, and because they're very profitable to sell on the streets. And so apparently this particular doctor had to be involved in unethical acts because prescribing over 2,000 opioids to an elderly couple with other health risk was a very serious problem for that couple who didn't know what was going on because they were being controlled. So be careful about your elderly parents if they live alone or parent. Be sure that you check on them. Be sure you know who's coming and going. Be sure you know what the doctor's prescribing. Because in that particular case, the doctors among the three were prescribing like 29 prescriptions to each of the elderly couple, to the wife and to the husband. That's 60 prescriptions per month and excessive opioids. Quote, Oklahoma's attorney general accused the company of a cunning, cynical, and deceitful scheme to ramp up narcotic painkiller sales as one of a web of firms that created the biggest drug epidemic in American history as profits surged. The companies worked in step to change medical culture and practice by influencing doctors, researchers, federal regulators, and politicians. So we have these lobbyists from Big Pharma. Maybe that's how Congress ended up granting immunity to them. So if you die or you're seriously and chronically ill for the rest of your life from this vaccine, that could be short-term or long-term. It could be immediate, or it could be months, or it could be days, or it could be years from now. With an unprecedented method inside this, included in the vaccine, and possibly aborted fetal tissue, and et cetera, and a myriad of chemicals. Chemicals are not natural to the body when injected into the body, from what doctors have reported. And so, in other words, it's like Russian roulette. And people are being used as human commodities for human capital and turning Big Pharma into the Big Pharma industrial COVID complex, where it appears that there will be never-ending viruses and never-ending vaccinations. And that's why it appears they want you to carry a card so that you will be their human commodity and your children, which will be a never-ending money-making business for the investors on Wall Street and the Bill Gates Foundation and the Big Pharma, CDC, who and those who are invested from our government into Big Pharma. And so it appears that these lobbyists have been able to convince Congress that Big Pharma should not be liable for any chronic illness, lifetime illness, or death from the vaccinations, which means that the families cannot file a lawsuit. Or they can file a lawsuit, but it's going to go nowhere. They also have big, big attorneys, too, who protect these companies. And so, quote, when companies engage in unethical behavior, Dr. Mercola says, especially the falsification and manipulation of science, they create distrust and cynicism. This should be obvious, and it's nobody's fault but their own. Importantly, Johnson & Johnson made false claims about the safety of its opioid, going so far so far as to manipulate scientific papers to support its assertion that the risk of addiction was less than 2.6%. As Brand points out, when companies engage in unethical behavior, especially the falsification and manipulation of science, they create distrust, cynicism, and I want to add they also can create destruction, devastation, illness, and death. So these are just a few of this is just a little bit of the information. You can go to Mercola.com. You can read his articles, very, very informative and right on point. And as I said, it's difficult to be able to post anything on social media that has anything to do on with COVID that is factual or ask questions about a fast-tracked warp speed vaccination that's unprecedented without trials on mice and without published long-term case studies that take up to 7 to 10 years to publish in medical journals by credible, ethical doctors and scientists. So I guess we'll have to wait and see if we are going to be locked down forever and if we are going to be denied freedom, liberty, and rights. We're going to be denied the right to go to a movie theater, the right to go to a theater, a live play, the right to go to a concert, the right to fly on an airline, because they're all involved in becoming our big brother, big daddy, trampling on the U.S. Constitution that establishes that the American people are the government and the American people are guaranteed rights, liberties, and freedoms, and freedom of choice, and freedom of will, of a free will, granted by God, not by Bill Gates, not by Dr. Fauci, not by Johnson & Johnson, not by Pfizer, not by Big Pharma, not by President Biden, not by Congress, by God. And on that note, I want to say, save your nation. Save your family, save yourself from losing your freedom, your rights, liberty, sovereignty of the greatest republic ever established in world history. God bless you. God bless America.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.